Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast for July 28th. It's brought to you by One World Sports. I'm John Gibson, and joining me on a warm Sunday evening is Jim Allen. How's it going, bud?
Warm.
Not too warm, though, right? It's actually cool, considering how hot it was in the daytime.
Yeah, I turned the cooler on a little bit here.
I wouldn't know. I was up in Akita most of the week, and it was...
So how was the weather?
Well, it was raining off and on today, but it was mostly cool. So,
you know, the pictures on Facebook look beautiful.
Yeah, man.
As they do.
Fresh air, open spaces.
Wow.
Yeah, the country life. Yeah, I'm so glad to be home.
I was going to say, you were about to start singing the Green Acres thing.
Never. All right, on this week's show, we've got an interview with John Bowker of the Rakuten Eagles, and we're going to discuss a couple milestones and MVP candidates and more, so let's get started.
Clearing the bases!
All right, so I've got an easy trivia. No, I shouldn't say easy. I've got the fastball.
You're always stumping me, dude, so don't say they're easy.
Well, this one's probably going to be tough, and I probably could word it to make it easier, but I'm not because you ran away from the other one the other day, so I'm just going to be mean.
So what's new?
I'm usually nice. All right, Motonobu Tanishige was the first player manager since Atsuya Furuta to make the All-Star team. And Furuta did it in 2008. But how many player managers have been All-Stars?
Wow. That's a good question. I'm going to say four.
Double that and you've got your answer. Eight.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, I thought that was a lot too. And I didn't have the names. They didn't give me the names, but I thought eight was a lot. Furuta being, obviously he being the last one to do it. He's the last. I think a lot of our listeners, the last player manager they know,
Katsuya Nomura.
Yeah.
The player manager for the Hawks for many years.
Yeah.
And I would think before him, Minoru Murayama with the Tigers.
Yep. Yeah, that makes sense.
And who was the college battery mate of my buddy Toshiharu Ueda.
Yeah, there's a few.
Maybe Otaru, the former manager of the Tokyo Orioles. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was quick and easy and fairly painless, so that's good. We got that out of the way.
Yeah, mine tend to go on and on. I sort of like put the knife in there and twist it.
Yeah, you've always got like a list of questions.
It's like
trivia hour with you.
Well, I apologize for that, but.
You don't sound apologetic.
Well, I am. But I like the background and the context too much. I like ambiguity and vagaries.
All right.
So we're gonna talk to a guy tonight who is very sparing with ambiguity and vagaries, I think.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk to John Bowker. And, you know, obviously he started with the Giants 3 years ago, and this is his first year with the Eagles. And when he joined the Giants, I saw this guy swing, and I thought, oh, man, this guy's going to have a real good career in Japan. He's got a beautiful swing. And then, indeed, that first year, he hit a lot of line drives at first. Many of them were atom balls. A lot of guys caught him, but I thought he was swinging the bat well. But he didn't get a lot of play, and at the end of the season, you look up and he only had 184 at-bats. He batted 196. They took him out against a lot of left-handed pitching. The next season, he hit 262. He got more at-bats with 271, but as you'll hear, the Giants let him go after last season. And, you know, he was hitting 266 before Sunday's games today in 169 at-bats, so he's getting more play with the Eagles. But they seem to be using him the same way that the Giants were using him, just basically against right-handed pitching. They throw him in the outfield. I don't know what they're doing. But, yeah, I still really like his swing. I think he can make – he probably – he thinks the same, that he could probably make more contact, but I think they want him to hit for power, and I think he's trying to do that. I mean, we'll see how his career ends up, but you know, I think he might most be remembered for what he did in the Japan series against the Nippon Ham Fighters in 2012 when he hit a couple of home runs off of Mitsuo Yoshikawa, their supposed ace.
he was the MVP that year.
He was the MVP of the Pacific League that year. And
because he won a bunch of games, and he hadn't won a bunch of games before, and he hasn't won a bunch of games since, but, you win a bunch of games, you're the MVP. Okay.
That's right. So, I went out to Cebu Dome the other day, and I got to talk to John, so let's hear the chat. All right, we are being joined by John Bowker. He's with the Rakuten Eagles. Good to have you back in Japan again.
Oh, thanks for having me.
All right, what brought you back to Japan?
Basically, I was, I was with the Giants last year. They didn't pick up my, pick up my option. They didn't re-sign me. So.
Yeah. What did they do? They just say, hey. Thank you very much for your service.
Pretty much. I went to Mexico and played down there for basically about a month, 3 weeks, and the Eagles picked me up out of Mexico.
What did they do? Did they make the approach? Did you guys go to them? Did you want to get out of Mexico? Or
they made the approach. They were looking for a hitter, so they called me up, and I was ready to go.
Now, what is it like when you get that call and somebody wants you?
I was extremely happy, and I wanted to re-sign and come back to Japan last year, and unfortunately, that didn't happen after the season, so I, that was my first goal, was to try to get back here, and, went down to Mexico, had a good time playing down there. And, when I got the call from the Eagles, I was just, really, really excited to get the opportunity to come back, because I didn't know if it was going to happen or not. So I was just really, really happy about it.
Well, we were glad to see you come home. Now, what was your game plan last year? This is the team that you played as a Giant. You played in the Japan series, and you had Masahiro Tanaka to deal with in the series. Now, what was your game plan against him? Because you guys ended up beating him in Game 6. How did you approach him?
Well, he's a great pitcher, obviously, and, you can have a game plan, and, he executes his pitches a lot of the time. So, basically we were just trying to go up there and, try not to do too much and just, stay, each person have their own plan and, be able to pick a pitch and get it and try not to miss the mistakes, because he doesn't make very many mistakes up there. So I think we took advantage of, just a couple of mistakes he made, but that's about it.
Now, you guys weren't able to beat him in the first time that you faced him, but you came back in Game 6 and got him. And then he comes out and pitches games in Game 7. How surprised were you to see him come back out on the mound?
We were a little bit surprised just with the pitch count that he had in Game 6, but
right.
It was Game 7, last game of the season. He probably knew he was going to the States. He wanted to do all he can to help the team win. So if you think about it that way, it wasn't that big of a surprise. But he came out there and pitched well Game 6, came back in Game 7, and he's got a lot of a lot of ability to do that.
Did you guys hear that he was warming up in Game 7, or did you just think maybe he'll come out? Or what was the first thing that went through your mind when you heard that he was going to pitch?
We just, we were trying to win the game. So when he came out, we were just, we were trying to beat whoever came out, whether it's Tanaka or anybody else. But, we were a little surprised, but, we were still trying to go out there and win. Didn't think too much of it at the time.
All right, now you joined this team, and you played them last year, obviously, in the Japan series. What's changed so much to make this a last-place team now?
We're working hard. It's obviously you're when you lose two guys like Tanaka and McGee, that's a lot of production. I think we're making improvements, and that's all we could do is just go out there every day, try to win games, and if we just take it one step at a time like that, we could creep back up into this thing.
Well, in the preseason, I kept saying, missing Tanaka, he pitched once a week. It's one guy. It's not going to make that big a difference. But I think McGee was a big loss. But like I said, you guys had to break this team down as you were going into the Japan series. What are you seeing this year that you can point to as a difference from the way it played last year?
We played them in the Japan series. They played really well. You know, it was a good team last year, and a lot of the same guys are coming back. So, you know, we're a good team this year, and you know, we're not, you know, playing up to our abilities right now. I know we're in last place, but I don't think at the end of this thing we'll be in last place.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think you guys still have the ability, and I'm looking for good things for the rest of the season. Now you join after the start of the season, and you've already seen three skippers here. Now, how tough is it when there's a lot of change like that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, coming in when I first got here, you know, Hoshino was the manager, and it was unfortunate, you know, his injury, but he had to take some time off to, you know, to get his back fixed. So, you know, in the meantime, we're just, you know, still playing hard, just, you know, just getting ready for him to come back, and you know, that's what we're doing. We're just, you know, taking each day as it is, and you know, when he comes back, it's going to be great.
Now, how's the adjustment to each guy? I mean, I know Hoshino's got a different personality, and then your next coach had a different personality, and then Dave. What's the adjustment?
I mean, they're all great guys, so it's, you know, for me, it's not that much of an adjustment. You know, it's still coming to the park and play every day, and you know, the managers that we've had, you know, they would come to the park to play every day, and you know, that's basically all you can ask for as a player. Just, you know, be positive as a manager, and these guys are, you know, helpful and positive, so I'm happy with, you know, what's going on.
The thing I notice about Okubo, though, is that he seems to let the guys be aggressive on the bases, and he seems to be more of a push for a run, not kind of sit back and play the traditional Japanese style to get a run.
Yeah, he's very aggressive. And, you know, as you know, we should be aggressive. That's, you know.
You think?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that, you know, as a baseball player, you got to be aggressive, and as a team, you got to be aggressive. So, you know, that's what we're trying to do, and we're just going to keep on being aggressive.
I sense a theme there, aggressive. But is there enough time and enough pitching for this team to get back into the race for a playoff spot?
Yeah, I think so. You know, we still got two more months left in the season, so I think there's plenty of time, and you know, it's not the game. You look at the numbers, like, you know, we're not that many games back. So I think as long as we just go out there and play hard every day, like, you know, it'll take care of itself. And you know, we can't think about like trying to make up five games in one day. So we're just gonna try to, you know, win series, win ball games.
My own concern right now has been the consistency of the starters, and I haven't seen that. And I if the starters stay the same, I have no reason to expect something different. What could change to make the pitching a little bit better? Or should we not worry about that? Should we just worry about the offense?
No, I mean, I think the pitchers are gonna, you know, they're gonna step up. The offense is gonna, you know, keep doing its thing, and you know, I think we have a good pitching staff. I mean, I don't know what you think or what the other guys think, but I think we do.
No, I think they're good. I just haven't seen the consistency, so I'm hoping what I'm expecting is more of the same. So if that happens, how can you guys make up for it? Is it better defense? Is it trying to score more runs? Is it, like you said, mentioned being aggressive? Is it being more aggressive on the bases?
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna keep being aggressive and just try to, you know, score more runs than the next team. So, you know, my job is to go out there and, you know, play the outfield, play first base, and just, you know, try to drive in some runs. So I'm gonna go out there and do that. And you know, our pitchers have been pitching. You know, they pitched their butts off, and like, we're gonna, you know, back them up.
Okay. Now, you've played in both leagues now. You played in the Central League a lot longer. But what difference, what's the biggest difference you see between the two leagues?
I mean, the biggest difference, it's not too much of a difference to me. Like, you know, still baseball. I mean, for now, I haven't seen all the pitchers, so it's hard for me to really say.
Right.
The ballparks are bigger, so, you know, maybe pitchers pitch a little different just because you don't have to play the Tokyo Dome or, like, Yokohama, you know, the small ballparks. So, that's the biggest difference I've seen, just the ballparks.
Okay. All right, well, good luck the rest of the way. We'll be pulling for you.
Okay. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thanks a lot, John. Thank you for taking the time. Now, I don't know how you took that interview, so I'm not even going to poison your mind by making any suggestions. I'm just going to ask you what caught your ear there.
A couple of things stood out. First of all is, you know, I think I was thinking about your intro, And, you know, John was caught in a tough spot with the Giants last year because, you know, they had two productive left-handed hitters who could play left field and pinch hit. And Yoshinobu Takahashi had, in those situations, John had, he was okay, but Takahashi was just on fire.
Mm-hmm. Somewhat what he's like, what he's doing this season.
Okay. And so Boker just sort of got left out of the shuffle. They figured, well, we've got Takahashi. You know, what else do we need? And, well, obviously they needed somebody that I think they wanted a right-handed, another right-handed bat. And then they wanted this and they, you know, basically they wanted a bunch of Cubans. they're probably trying to save money on an interpreter.
Maybe they're trying to get Jose to do the interpreting.
So yeah, they do have four Cubans on the team now.
Hmm.
And, Jose Lopez, who's not a Cuban. But anyway, so John was then, of course, to keep the Latin connection going within Mexico. Anyway, John had some big hits for the Giants, as you said, in the 2012 Japan Series. So I have this image of him as being a big postseason player.
Mm.
But his numbers are 15 games, .231 average, 2 homers, 7 RBIs. It's very much like his career numbers.
Yeah.
So really not so much difference there.
Yeah.
Now, John's about, as I said, not big on ambiguity or vagary. He's about as straightforward as you could ask for.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not always the most colorful interview because he doesn't embellish and, you know, he just focuses on the things that he can control, you know, hitting and playing first base and left field.
Right.
And you really do have to love that because as much as a reporter, we like people to, you know, go on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
It's also nice when people just say, you know, say it how they see it and keep it simple.
Yep.
Doesn't waste too much time on other stuff. Now, as far, I don't have too much to add to what he said. I thought everything he said was right on. You know, he can't control, you know, what can't he control? Can't control the managers, can't control what the other players are doing. Basically, this is what I have to do. And that's what I'm focused on. And I'm just hoping everybody else is focusing on what they have to do and we'll be okay. I agree with both of you saying, you know, that the Eagles, obviously the Eagles are a better team. I saw something in your site, new data, or I call it null data in English tonight, that Isaac Ikema reposted on Twitter about at this point last season, last year's first three Pacific League teams were the Eagles, the Lions, and the Marines. The last three teams were the three
that are in the top.
Exactly, SoftBank, Oryx, and Nippon Am in that order.
Flip flopped, yeah.
So that was kind of interesting, but you know, we think, you know, obviously we thought that the Eagles are a better team than we think they're a better team than they've been playing.
Well, yeah, and I think, and I'll get to that in a second, but I don't know, I was wondering because it seemed to me, and it didn't, I don't know that it was apparent in the interview, but I don't know that John got a little testy or a little short, but, and I didn't mean to say disparaging things about the pitching staff, but I think that's how he interpreted what I was saying when I said, hey, I don't think we can expect the pitching staff to improve. So how are you guys going to make up this ground that you need to make up? Are you going to try to be more aggressive out there on the bases? Are you going to try to have the managers talked about being putting the best defensive players out there so they can have the best chance to get out the field as quickly as possible? But I think he interpreted that and eventually he said, hey, our guys are pitching their butts off and I'm sure they are. I'm sure they're working hard and I'm sure they're giving the utmost effort, but I just think the pitching has been a little bit subpar and maybe I don't know how it came across to him, but the numbers back it up. I think the numbers have said, hey, look, they had the best team ERA in June, but I think that was mostly Takahiro Norimoto throwing 4 shutouts against the Central League. So that's not really indicative of the entire season and they've really been struggling. I looked up some other numbers on the Newell data site and it said, the starters through Saturday for this month alone, their ERA was 4.6 and the relievers 4.40. That's just not going to get you a lot of wins.
That's not
going to get you a lot of wins unless you're scoring a lot of runs. And although they pitched well, I mean, that night that we did the interview, that night, the Eagles won a game 9-8. Then they pitched well the next two nights, but they didn't necessarily mean that they won both games. They didn't. So they're struggling. They're struggling on the mound. They're struggling to score when they have opportunities to win games, when the games are tight. And today was just Hoshino Sanichi. Hoshino did come back. He's back from his illness, this bone illness that hardens. I forgot what it is.
The yellow ligament, ossification of the yellow ligament, which is not like the yellow submarine. I can't quite picture what a yellow ligament is, and I'm not certain I want to.
Oh, yeah. But he's out there, and he comes back, and he didn't inspire them to win the first game on Friday. He came back, and they lost that low-scoring game. And then on Sunday, he leaves Takahiro Norimoto out there probably a little bit too long, and he gives up a home run late, and they ended up, right after they had taken a 3-2 lead, they ended up losing this game. So, the things are not adding up. And I remember we had a listener, Glenn, from Tokyo, who earlier this season. Mm. We gave too much love to the Eagles, and everything he said in his email has come to fruition in that he didn't expect the Eagles to pitch well because Tanaka was gone. He didn't expect Kevin Youkilis to hang around that long. He's always been injured. He did say some things about maybe Andrew Jones that haven't come to fruition yet because he's been just as productive in terms of knocking.
Yeah, he's just been doing the same.
So, but still, he hasn't been enough of a one-man gang to bring this team out of the Pacific League cellar. So, yeah, I heard that. I'm just wondering, you didn't hear that in the interview? It didn't come across to you that way?
Well, I think it's a case of, yeah, what am I supposed to say about it? The pitching ain't my job. You know, the pitchers are doing their best, and I believe they're doing their best, and I believe in my teammates. That's what it sounded like to me. I didn't think it was testy. I think it was just, hey, you know, that's not my problem. That's not my problem, but what do you expect me to say about it?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was asking.
Which is probably how I would have answered it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, my expectation is, yeah, I think exactly what he said, which is I expect us to make a run. The game difference isn't that big. We can come back from this. We can make the playoffs. And we heard Chad Hoffman say it the past week that, hey, once you get in, anything can happen. So it's not about trying to win every game and trying to win the
it's about not having to win every game.
Right. That's the,
being in first place is a big advantage, but you know, it's being in third place is vastly better than being fourth.
Definitely. Yeah, okay. Definitely.
I thought a couple of things about that. And, one was, you know, the comment about the pitchers working their butts off. And I was thinking, in Japanese players in general, you know, I'm trying to think of players who don't work their butts off. And the one guy who comes to mind was Kazuhisa Ishii.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was like, yeah, when he felt like it, you know, when it's like when he was motivated.
Yeah, can I interrupt you and tell you a little?
You can always interrupt me, John.
Tell a little story about Ishii. A couple of years after I got the gig, and Ishii came back from the States, and he joined Seibu. A lot of the guys like to run at Seibu Dome. They like to run through the stands before the people file in, before 4 o'clock, before a night game. And of course, we show up 2 o'clock, 2:30 to get there for the game to try to get interviews and talk to some of the coaches and all that. So I got there and I was walking in and I hear this kind of chugging sound of a runner behind me. And I, you know, the stretch is about, I don't know, maybe I've never timed it. Let's say it's a 3-minute walk from once you enter the stadium from the bleacher section, from the general seating section, and you walk toward the press box. Let's say that's a three minute walk. I think I walked 2 minutes hearing this sound, and then finally I'm like, I have to turn around and see what's going on. And I turn around and it's Ishii with his Walkman, I'm dating myself again, with his, let's call it an iPod.
Yeah, probably.
And he's, he's jogging, but you know, I'm serious. I think I was walking just as fast as he was jogging around this area.
Didn't want to make you look bad.
and I'm sure if I stepped up the pace, I could have beat him. But go ahead. Yeah, you're right. It feels like
well,
it. He
anyway, so that's one. And what I wanted to say is that's one point. Is it's very rare for a Japanese player to be considered lazy. But it is, however, very common for Japanese players to spin their wheels doing things that are counterproductive.
Mm.
A lot of players, and I think you see this a lot, you know, teams are trying to get rid of this, but, you know, the culture is hard to overcome. And the one I can always think of is Kazuhiro Kiyohara, who is not one of the game's brightest lights. And he had an amazing career for a guy who really isn't all that intelligent. I mean, to do what he did without, you know, being able to make a lot of mental adjustments.
Right.
And, you know, and you fight that current, you know, it's just quite impressive because this is a guy who was, when he was 18, he was one of the best players in the game, and he just sort of, he took one step forward as he adjusted and he was probably never, you know, it was all downhill from the age of 20, which is not that unusual, but usually it is a little unusual, but I don't want to get into the details of that. But anyway, Kiyohara would work like a madman, but he would do 1 year, he'd be training to be like, he would be doing training that would make him an NFL lineman. And the next year he'd be training like a professional wrestler. Mm. And the year after that, he'd be out working with golfers. You know, it's like everything he did was at cross purposes.
Mm.
And he was almost like it was a cartoon caricature of a baseball player.
Mm.
You know, all guts and dedication. And, you know, it was all about showing what he did as opposed to actually, you know, finding out what worked better. I think that was a little beyond his scope, but he did try. He tried so hard. It was so sad to watch him just doing all these things. But anyway, yeah. So I think if what I got from they're pitching their butts off is they may be kind of a subtext there, which I doubt John intended. I don't think he's
I wouldn't
big on subtext, but it made me think of the Eagles in general. I mean, when you see a team that is playing much more poorly than they should be.
Hmm.
I mean, this was a dynamite, scrappy team last year, a smart team with great at-bats. I don't see the good at-bats this year. I don't see the consistent good at-bats like they had from, I'm going to say, from August to September.
Yeah, and I talked to AJ, I talked to Andrew Jones before the game, and he said, look, a lot of last season was we hung around in games, and then at the end somebody came up with a big hit. And this year we might be hanging around, but we can't make the pitches that we need to make when we need to make them, and we can't come up with the big hits. And the point spread gets big at the end of games, and that's exactly what happened today. But
I think what's happening, I don't know what's happening, but the point I was heading toward was that when people trying to do too much, normally when you see a team that is not playing as well as they should, a lot of guys are just trying to pressing a little bit too much. You know, I can hit thinking, okay, that's a pitch I can hit, and I guess I couldn't.
and this is a
pitch I think I can throw, and I guess not. Mm. You know, the reality hurts. So the Eagles franchise has now taken that to heart. I read there was a rumor that the it hasn't been announced yet, but the Arizona Diamondbacks reportedly yesterday released a left fielder, first baseman named Nick Evans,
mm-hmm.
He's a right-handed hitter, right-handed hitting, lighter hitting version of John Bowker. And I wonder if the Eagles saw this guy hitting .351 for Triple A Reno and thought, man, oh man, that's a guy we need. You know, mind you, Reno's Reno's team batting average in the, you know, in the top of the Sierra Nevada mountains is 296.
Yeah.
And so basically it's a little better than AAA.
It's just like the SAT test, right? You get a hit every 10 at bats just for showing up in the batter's box, right?
Yeah, well, that's what you get in Reno. And the, their team opponents have one more hit than they do. And this is a good team. Yeah. So 296 ain't that good there. So, you know, he's probably, his minor league numbers aren't nearly as good as John Bowker's were.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they're thinking other than, hey, this guy's got blood pumping through his veins.
Oh, stop.
So if we could use him and we can use him if somebody needs a transfusion.
Oh, stop it. Stop. I do like what he said, what John Bowker said about Dave Okubo being aggressive. And I really did like what Okubo was doing as the interim manager, the second interim manager. He was stealing. He was putting on some hit and run plays. He was yanking pitchers at the right time, it seemed. And like we said before, this team is 3 games behind the Lions as we speak on Sunday, 7.5 behind Lotte, which is in fourth place. I don't know if someone joked at work at the office. They said, without Hoshino there, all the players are actually doing better. And I kind of laughed. And I don't know, but he was 1-2, which is not, you know, anything. It's just a one weekend of games, but he was 1-2 in his return and they didn't score a lot. And, I don't know. I really like what Okubo did. So the Eagles have a long way to go. They have a long way to scratch back. But here's the thing, and this is what John was saying, and I do agree with this. So they're three and a half games behind Lotte.
Three games behind Cebu.
And they're just 3 wins behind Lotte, though. If they get 3 wins, let's say they sweep them in the series, they could be even with Lotte.
Give you a little trivia here.
In terms of wins.
Okay, so I'll give you a little trivia here. The Eagles and the Swallows, they share two things. One is they're both in last place. That's the obvious one. And the other is they both share the worst team versus team record in Japan this season, which is they are 3-11 against a team in their league. The Eagles are 3-11 against Oryx. And hold your breath, the Swallows are 3-11 against the Bay Stars.
Yeah. And lost 4 straight.
Man, it's like
the Bay Stars. Yeah.
Which is why you can say, Eagles, 3-11 against Oryx. Okay, we can understand that. 3-11 against the Swallows, you know, get off the bus. Don't even ask to be on my bus.
Yeah, the Swallows being 3-11 against the Bay Stars, that's tough. All right, well, good luck. Thank you very much again, John, for chatting with us. Appreciate it.
Look forward to seeing you next time I get to an Eagles game, if I get to one this year.
That's right, and stay healthy and good luck. Now we want to talk about some milestones, and I put this on the Facebook page because I thought it was too much of a coincidence that it happened in the same week. But catcher Motonobu Tanishiga, I should say, catcher skipper, Dragon.
Well, you don't have
skipper.
To say that.
I love saying it. That's why.
No, you do. I'm sure I love hearing it.
He hit a home run this past week at Yokohama Stadium, where he began his career with the Taiyo Whales, and that gave him an NPB record with at least one home run over 26 consecutive seasons. Mm-hmm. And he has hit 228 home runs in his 25-plus seasons. So I'm just wondering, it wasn't much of a shot. It went in the first row. That's a really hitter-friendly park. But a couple of points. Last year, I called him a compiler because we kept getting these records that he was breaking. And I just think this is more proof. I think he hit a high of 26 to 24 home runs. That was in 2002. And geez.
He was a little past his prime then. He was fairly past his prime then.
Yeah. And he's
playing at Nagoya Dome.
I mean, it was impressive to come in his first year. I think it was his first year with the Dragons, and he hit that many home runs. So I guess the expectations went up, but he's only hit 300 one season in his career, the whole season. He hit 295 as a member of the Machine Gun lineup in 1999, and that's the year the Dragons actually won the Japan Series. But he's only hit double digits in home runs 8 times in his career, all these years going through. So I don't know. To be honest, I don't think he really belongs in the same conversation as Katsuya Nomura, who's got 657 home runs, and that's the second most all time. And he's a catcher, and that's whose record he broke.
I agree. That's one of those ones. It's one of those numbers like the they used to have this thing in America in the majors. They talked about four-decade players. You know, Willie McCovey was a four-decade player because he began his career in 1958 or 59, and he lasted until the 80s, you know, until 1980.
Right.
So, you know, and Minnie Minoso was a five-decade player, actually, because he played one game for the Chicago White Sox when he was about 60-something. Anyway, so it's one of those silly, you know, stats that are just meaningless, you know, kind of like a cycle. Did I say cycle? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, you didn't. We'll forget
that
you said
that. And I'm not sorry.
Yeah, we'll forget that you said that. But yeah, I mean, again, I you know, is he pushing toward the Hall of Fame? I would say yes, but...
I would say yes because... I would say yes, but go ahead with your buts.
No, I'm just saying, you know, he's not likely to break any more significant records. I think the only record he has left to break now is games played at catcher, or is it games played overall? I think it's games played as catcher. And then, that's about it. I don't see anything else he can do. Is that Hall of Fame worthy? I asked this question last year. The thing is
that you never know what the standards are going to be. You never know who he's competing against. The Hall of Fame in Japan, the system, the voting system is similar to the U.S. in the sense that people who are very, if people are in a group of players that's very, they happen to be in the same class with an elite group.
Mm-hmm.
Their chances are pretty much zero of getting into the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. So it's going to depend who he goes in with, and who is in, you know, who are the guys who are left on the ballot. It usually takes 4 or 5 years for players to work their way up the ballot. But, yeah, it's possible. He's certainly one of the bigger names of his generation in the sense that, you know, he's played for so many pennant winners.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to think of a catcher who's played for more other than probably Shinosuke Abe.
Yeah. You know, last year when I posed this question, I was very much against it. And then this year, I'm moving toward the middle. But I think the one thing that really is impressive is the longevity at that position and for him to get so much play. I mean, you know, this is the first time he's been in charge or been able to play at will. This season, because he can put himself in the game at any time and he can take himself out. But, I think a lot of players like him are lauded in Japan and just for being around for so long. And I think that'll probably get him in because I think longevity counts a lot here, but I'm just not sure that the numbers, you know, bear that out.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think, obviously, Atsuya Furuta, I believe, is in the current group of Hall of Fame candidates, and he's nowhere near getting elected.
Yeah.
And I'll have to say, Tanishige, as much as he became the defensive catcher later, a typical thing in Japan is that a lot of catchers earn their jobs hitting, and they keep them catching.
Mm-hmm.
Or the other way around. You know, sometimes there's a few guys who do it the other way around in the sense that they're good enough to catch, so they do catch, and eventually they hit well enough. But if they can't hit a minimum amount, they're not going to keep the job.
Mm-hmm.
Furuta and Furuta was a good all the way around from the start. But most catchers are like Tanishige, who you know, he could just hit a ton when he was a kid, and he eventually became a first-rate defensive catcher.
Yeah. All right, so then on Saturday, Hitoki Iwase, the Dragons closer, reaches the 400 save mark. Now, what was interesting about this is his first career save came against the Giants, and his 400th came against the Giants. And it was so,
woo-hoo.
I'm sorry?
I said woo-hoo.
Oh, thank you.
Because the Giants count so much in Japan.
Well, because they're the rivals. They're everybody's rival in the Central League, but... Apparently.
Wow,
anyway, so but it was so funny. I don't know if you got to see the footage. I finally got to see the replays, and he's throwing a slider to Shinosuke Abe with two outs and the tying runs. He came in with a 3-run lead. He had given up 3 hits, I think, and gave up a run. And the tying runs were on second and third. And he throws the slider to Abe, and he starts and Iwase stumbling on the mound, and Abe stumbling trying to swing at this slider that's breaking off the end of the, or going way outside. You know how he throws those sliders off the plate to left-handed pitchers, or even to right-handers. His slider is going to go in the same spot. And it's just funny to see these two big stars stumbling, one at the batter's box, missing a pitch, one stumbling off the mound as he's throwing a pitch. But, you know, I've seen a lot of his, I mean, his talent is diminished. I mean, he doesn't have a lot of speed. He doesn't have a lot of great movement on his pitches anymore. They used to have Takuya Asao come out as a save starter kit a couple of years back when Asao was pretty much healthy and they could use him as much as they wanted to. He would come out and get maybe the first right-handed batter, and then they'd have Iwase face the left-handed batters or as many left-handed batters as he could to get the save. So they had been doing that. He's allowing a lot more runners this year, hits and walks combined. They're up. But somehow he's been steadily closing these games. He's got 18 saves this year. He didn't start till his...
He did have a save when he was a rookie, but it was only one. And he wasn't, it was Ochiai who made him a closer. He was basically a starter. And he said something interesting yesterday when they was talking about the meaning of 400 saves. He says, look, I joined the team. He was a corporate league guy. And he said, when I joined the team, I came as a starter. And at some point before I knew it, I was a closer. I never really knew. And I just kind of realized, hey, you know, they're using me as a closer. And, you know, and to get to 400 saves, it's something I never imagined or never. So I don't really think about numbers a lot, which is so much like him. He's got bigger things to think about than numbers, because this is a guy who's got a lot of physical issues. He's got a curved spine, and it causes him a lot of trouble when he travels, and he always has to sort of like readjust his body on an hourly basis to keep him from, you know, being able to function.
Yeah, well, he's functioning. I mean, barely. And I've seen this season. It's like I'm thinking this is going to be his last season. Why has he not announced it? You know, he's only had two seasons where he's allowed more hits than innings pitched, and he's on pace to have that happen again this year. And you know, you look at a lot of the numbers, and they're not good. And yet, he's still, you know, he's not striking out a lot of batters, and he hasn't for the past couple seasons really, but he's been healthy enough to pitch. He's pitched a bunch of games.
Well, there's something to be said for people who know what they're doing. You know,
yeah.
I think there's that, you know, he's not going to make, you know, he's going to make bad pitches because it's harder to, you know, the command is not as what it used to be.
Right.
But in terms of doing the right thing, in the right situation, you know, you have no doubt that that's what he's going to do. He's going to make good decisions. And that's a lot. That's a big part of the game. The other thing that he said that was kind of interesting, he said, I used to understand how hard it was, what a burden it was to be overworked. He said, now, and I couldn't ever understand what a burden it is to be underworked. He's really struggling with not getting consistent work.
Yeah.
And he said that's really hard for him. He said something like, I don't know, is it that I'm not making the adjustments, or is it that I'm not able to establish a rhythm, or what it is? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, 2008 was the only other time that he has allowed more hits than innings pitched, and then this year he's down six. He's given up 34 hits in 28 innings, so we'll see how it goes. His ERA has ballooned much higher than his career ERA, which is at 209, and it's 386 this year. So we'll see. I mean, we'll see how it goes. I'm assuming that it's going to be his last season either this year or next year. So maybe health-wise, he won't be able to last, and he'll have to walk away from the game. But he's really been a great closer for the Dragons, and congratulations to him on making this milestone. Yeah, it was great. All right, I wanted to chat real quickly about the MVP candidates, because we're going to have this discussion in a couple months here in the Central League. And I actually talked to Jason Koskri of the Japan Times, and we talked about it. And in the Central League, we both agreed that Brad Eldred of the Carp is probably number one, but not if his team doesn't win. then we have to come up with backup plans. And so Jason came up with Tomoyuki Sugano. Yeah. Tomoyuki Sugano, if the Giants happen to win.
Yeah, if his, you know, if he resumes, you know, he gets out of his little mid-season funk right now.
Yeah, and I thought about Matt Merton. He's having a great season.
Yeah, I think Hector Luna is certainly
if he can come back,
could happen. The as far as Brad Eldred, I would also throw Kenta Maeda out there as a candidate, and Yoshihiro Amaro, either of those guys, if the Carp win, could you know, they're not that right now. Brad Eldred is the top of the class in both leagues.
Well, yeah, but if you're gonna throw Amaro out there, I would assume Yosuke Kikuchi is also a strong candidate.
I wouldn't, because his offense isn't in the same. He's not in the same ballpark this year.
Same ballpark as Maru?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, I was fine with it. What ballpark do you want? Does he need to be in? He's not going to ever really hit for power.
Well, Maru is kind of in the lower range right now, but he's in the range where he could catch. He could, you know, turn out to have a better season than Eldred does.
All right. Well, I mean, Kikuchi at 318 and playing second base, I think that's...
Well, because nobody cares whether he plays second base or not.
Well, we're also trying to guess what the media might...
Well, that's what I'm saying. Nobody cares whether he plays second base. They basically care what, you know, what his triple crown numbers are.
All right. Well, yeah, of course, we always need to look at who it's in first. And since the race is close, it should be fun watching down the stretch. So, what about the Pacific League?
You haven't even asked me about the Central League yet.
Oh, I thought you were agreeing with me. Go ahead.
Well, if we talk about the players who are the best, you know, then I would throw Hector Luna out there. I'd say Tetsuto Yamada is having an MVP season. Of course.
Of the Swallows, yeah.
Yeah. And certainly, in my opinion, he's a better candidate right now than Coco Ballantyne was a year ago. But, he's not going to win a triple crown. He's not going to play for a pennant winner, so it doesn't matter.
Well, yeah. Here's the other thing is maybe that's that MPB record 6 strikeout game that Brad Eldred had, the one game where he didn't make contact very much. Maybe that's going to work against him.
Could be. You asked about Abe, but he's having a horrible year. I mean, he's really not. I mean, I love Abe. I found out something about Abe. I'll make it really quick, and I didn't know this before, but I found it out this week, not Abe particularly. But I never realized until this past week how much Tokyo Dome helps left-handed home run hitters.
Oh.
It helps right-handed home run hitters too, but the gap is enormous.
Hmm.
Your home runs are going to increase by about 30% playing in Tokyo Dome as a left-handed hitter.
30%? Wow.
Yeah, compared to other Central League parks.
Hmm. Okay,
anyway, moving along.
That's a good note. I think Takashi Toritani is actually having a really good MVP kind of a candidate.
Good. I thought he could have been an MVP last year. I think Matt Merton is a good candidate as well. You threw him out there, and I think he is a good candidate if the Tigers win. Randy Messenger would have been, but he just can't get his win-loss record above 500.
Yeah. All right. What about
Pacific League?
You go. Why don't you start first?
Well, let's go with the leaders then, and just talk about them. I think Oryx Itoi.
Oh yeah, my man crush. Oh, love that guy.
Yes, I guess. And Kaneko. Kaneko is about the only pitcher I see in the Pacific League other than Shohei Ohtani, who's a possibility. If the Fighters win, which is unlikely.
You stole Ohtani. My dark horse. You're riding off in the sunset on my dark horse.
Could be. Well, they're going to have to win. Or either they're going to have to win, or he's going to have like a Sawamura Award season and hit like 15 home runs.
Yeah, well, they haven't really been letting him hit that much, and he hasn't really played the field very much anymore. I want to stop calling him two-way guy because we really haven't seen him in the outfield very much recently.
Yeah, he's pretty much DH'ing in pitching.
Yeah.
I think my favorite, of course, my favorite to win the MVP is Yuki Inagita.
That's who I have. And I have to write Seiichi Uchikawa on there, even though I don't believe it would ever happen, but...
No.
His problem is he had the injury, so he's still not
100%.
He doesn't have enough at best, but it's still a while, and if they get close, if he gets close in the at bats and he's still hitting in the maybe 20s, somewhere around there. I think he's going to split the vote with Yanagita. I think it's possible for sure.
It could be. Well, if the Hawks win right now, it's got to be Yanagita.
Yeah.
Any other PL guys?
No, Shohei Ohtani is the guy I wanted to bring up. So Ohtani is near the top in the Pacific League with 9 wins, and two other guys have 9 wins, and Yuki Nishi has 11, but Nishi has slowed. He's dropped way off the pace. In fact, I have to wonder if something's not wrong with him because of the way he's pitched his last maybe 4 or 5 ball games. But I think Shohei Ohtani is a bona fide candidate.
He's certainly a Salamura candidate.
He can be that as well. He's definitely got the strikeouts. he's got to get up there in innings pitched and maybe a few more complete games. But
yeah, that's what he doesn't have, is just the one complete game. But that's not a big one. Not a lot of people have the complete games anymore, so we'll see.
Yeah. All right.
It's been not a good year for the Pacific League for pitchers anyway.
No. All right, a couple of notes. One, the first being Kenji Otonari of the SoftBank Hawks today. And here's a pitcher who has been suffering from the same illness that Senichi Hoshino has.
And Daisuke Ochi.
And Daisuke Ochi of the Giants. And he came up with 7 strong innings today, 1 run allowed on 3 hits.
And I was watching that game, and he was really good.
Yeah.
I mean, that one run, it was amazing because he walked a guy because I guess he was aiming for the edges of the plate, and he was just missing. He had real good movement on his fastball. He had some real nice action on his slider and his splitter.
Uh-huh.
He's getting a lot of swings that people were swinging at balls. They really didn't have a good clear sense of where they were going to hit, make contact with.
Right.
And the one run he gave up was to Joey Butler. He walked a guy, and then Joey Butler, he threw a 1-2 slider. He should have tried to bury it and it would have been a strikeout, but Butler went after it and it was about 3 or 4 inches south of the zone,
mm-hmm.
but he got the barrel on it.
Right.
Yeah, hit it into right center for an RBI double. And that was the run.
Yeah.
And he got better.
Yeah. You know, I didn't see the game, but I was following along on the TBS Excite Baseball site and I saw the strikeouts. And then in the third inning, he got ground balls. I don't know how he got out of the third inning. Cause I only see 2 outs recorded. So.
Oh, there was Esteban Herman was called out trying to steal second. And, you know, it was one of those ones where it would have been a long instant replay review in America. It was not. It looked like he was safe, but I don't know. I mean, Maury Walkie came out and argued a bit.
Right.
That was that.
And
but,
then, he didn't have too much trouble, and one hit.
I'll tell you the funny thing about that game real quick in 10 seconds was Brad Dixon, poor guy. You know, he walks a couple of guys in the third inning, and he needs ground ball. So he gets ground ball.
Second inning.
Mm-hmm. And he gets a ground ball right up the middle between his, you know, Hosokawa hits the perfect pitch for a double play ground ball. It just misses his fielders. Next guy comes up, hits a perfect kind of ball you want for a double play, just scoots between first and second.
Mm-hmm.
Then the other guy, Kenta Imamiya, is having this bizarre week. He had a shot at first base, and Takahiro Okada, this guy, and I don't want to be mean because as a player I like him, but first base, he's not getting it done at first base. I think this is a guy who needs more practice at first base because
mm-hmm.
he missed some just horrible plays over the weekend.
Yeah.
And that's that. So I felt bad for Brad Dixon. He didn't pitch. He did more or less what he needed to do, but you know, cards didn't fall for him.
And that happens. That happens on the mound. We've talked about that. So yeah, Kenji Otonari got his first win since
May 31st, 2013.
So, he's been suffering. And I did see a special with him, and I think it was in the off season that I saw this special and how he's been working really hard to get back. And, you know, I'm surprised that he didn't cry on the Heroes, the post game.
Yeah. I was crying.
Yeah, because I would have been too, so. Yeah, you know, congratulations to him. Really good stuff from that team. That was a big series. It was kind of a big series, but I'm not going to put too much weight on it now. It's still early, but
I would say
they needed to win that at home.
It was the biggest series of the season in NPV.
I don't know if I'm going to go that far.
What's bigger?
I just don't think that any of them are that big right now. It's just it's important to win at home, but I'm not going to put any more emphasis on this one than I would a couple months ago when they were playing two games against the Giants or whatever.
I hear you, but I'm just saying that when you got, I mean, so far this year in this season, you know, you got two teams that are neck and neck and one team sweeps.
Yeah, it was good for them to sweep in their effort to try to win the Pacific League. But it didn't decide anything.
Ain't nothing going to decide anything until September. Okay, then John has just sworn that he won't talk about a series being big until it decides something.
Well, that's not what I'm saying. I just don't want to put too much weight on it. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it wasn't big. It was big, but it's not the biggest, you know, I don't know if I'm going to proclaim it the biggest series, you know, so far this season. It was really interesting. It was compelling, but I missed it. It wasn't big because I was in Akita. I didn't see it.
Well, I would say, and I watched them all, I would say that it was the biggest this series, but, you know, then you have to go back and say the biggest this season, but then you're saying, okay, well, it's not yet August, so the biggest this season can't be that big, and I'll go with that.
Okay, all right.
You know, but as series go this season, you know, what's bigger, Carp and Giants in May?
Yeah. You know, every game is just as important, and then again, it's
correct.
Just
every game counts the same in the win. Every win is the same in the win column. Absolutely true.
All right.
So we'll see. But anyway, so that was big. It was big for me. I mean, we did have another big one. We had the Giants and Tigers going head-to-head earlier in the week, and the Giants lost 2 out of 3, and then they went to Nagoya and lost 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
So we'll see where they lose 2 out of 3 next.
Well, I wouldn't say worried. I think their big concern is their rotation, and Kong Ohtake pitched fairly well today.
Yes.
He got some breaks. The Dragons helped him out. But, you know, I don't see that rotation holding up. Toshiya Sugiuchi has come back and pitched well.
He's put some,
but Utsumi,
he's been struggling
started
all year.
The game on Saturday was just, I mean, he was demotion worthy.
He's pitched a lot of those this year.
Yeah.
Sawamura came back. I didn't see the game. I think he got hit late.
Yeah, he's pitching okay though. He's certainly going to fit in.
He come
that
back
rotation.
And be a big difference
for
them.
He's going to be a help in that.
Ohtake has tended, in my impression is that Otake's better at the end of the season than in the beginning. So we'll see. We'll see what's going on with that. But they're playing. I mean, they've got so much offensive depth, you don't really want to rule them out too much, so.
I'm not ruling them out. I just think that there's, you know, the long struggle for them is with everything. They seem to not pitch well. They seem to not hit well. They seem to not have good relief, and then they're still in first place and nobody's knocked them off. So I think the Tigers had more staying power than I thought they did because they're doing a lot of this run toward the top without their ace, Atsushinomi, who's like 5-9 and he's lost a career worst 5 straight decisions.
Yeah, and he pitched the other day. He lost the one game they lost to the Giants. He pitched well for it. He pitched was super for 8 innings.
Yeah.
Or 7 innings and lost it at the end of the game.
Yeah.
The Tigers have been interesting because they haven't been having the big star power stuff, but what they have had is very good and almost like, I want to cross my fingers or knock wood when I say it, they've gotten very good production recently from Kosuke Fukudome.
He's
I thought he was dead.
What am I saying? Yeah. Didn't you used to be famous? Yeah.
Exactly. I like Fukudome. He's gotten a little friendlier, a little more talkative since he was in the major leagues. Good for him.
good. Well, you know, I'm glad for the whole thing. I like the situation. They're like the Dragons got hot there. The Bay Stars are getting hot, and you know it's nice to see the if the league stays close and all the games matter. That's what I like. That's what I want to see down the stretch. So now we don't have any questions for fielding questions, but last week I think we got off on a tangent so that we didn't actually answer Dave's question, and I did want to say that I think, yes, Dave, that every TV or the TV coverage is enough, whatever cameras they have, whether it's 2, 3, 4, or 5, I think they have enough to instill or to implement this system of replay. I don't know why in that particular game that they didn't have the right camera angle, but I think they have enough, and I think they can do it.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I was moving toward last week. Okay.
All right.
So, yeah, I think they can do it. I just, you know, how they're going to do it. And they are working towards doing it because the head of the umpires, Osamu, you know, told me basically the two things they try to establish as rules in Japan are the international baseball rules and Major League Baseball, like the two pillars. And they basically want to stay close to those two centers.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much for listening, and we will be back next week. Thanks a lot. Enjoy your baseball.
Talk to you next week.
One World Sports is the exclusive home of the Yomiuri Giants in North America and features live coverage of all Giants home games. Please contact your local cable provider to find out how you can watch One World Sports.